Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
All right. Well, welcome. We are finally back at it, trying to get back into the swing of things. Welcome to the final cast. Is it really going to be the final cast? It's not. It's never the final cast. But you know what? We are going to have a good show tonight. I am bringing in, I consider him like almost like the pod father, almost like, look, we're going to call him the feel free father. He's like the granddaddy to me of fishing here, and I'm going to bring in Mr. John Rapp in a little bit, but we're going to sit back. We're going to talk about a little bit about mentorship, and what it is to be a mentoree, even in this industry, amongst other industries. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the final cast. All righty, Mr. Rapp, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, Randy Newton? How are you, brother?
Man, I'm telling you, you're going to be in this neck of the woods in a couple of days, aren't you?
Yeah, man. It's just Josh Deal, a buddy of mine from Georgia's got the house all set up. I think they're already down there. Well, he's going down tomorrow, I think. A couple other guys are coming in. I'll be swinging down hopefully Wednesday, if not Thursday at the latest. Nice.
So. Now tell everybody what you're coming down to do. You're just not coming down to hang out by me.
No, man. I'm coming down to fish the Hobie BOS, the pedal only event on Lake Norman.
Pedal only event. Wow. How many do they have going out for that one?
They have two for their season, and this is one of them, where they went to power this year. They kept a couple with pedal only, and it's going to be a good time. I'm actually swinging by feel free. I'm picking up a new, sort of like what you got, the Mokin 12 5 pedal drive. And so may have to come over and do some rigging.
I have a garage right here. You can come right on over and do it. And then at the same time, you can maybe force me to get mine out on the water. It still has yet to see water. This is how bad it's been this season. Just to let you guys know, it's been an awesome time going on in the Newton household. It's been soccer season. So of course I've been coaching that, and it's been knee deep in travel soccer, recreation soccer, and anything else that you can think of about soccer. So it's been a little bit busy, but today we are going to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to John and I's heart, and that is mentorship, being a mentoree, or even being mentored yourself. And what does that mean in this industry and amongst other industries that you can be part of, being mentored? And we had a very lengthy conversation about this and about how, like, there's so much going on in this industry that you can get turned around backwards and sideways really, really quick. And John's coming from a police background. I'm coming from a military background. In the military, I had some amazing mentors. I mean, I've had some 4-star generals because I had the privilege of working in the embassies. So there was a lot of attention to details, a lot of one-on-one communication, growing, mentoring, bringing you up through the ranks of the military, which is kind of difficult sometimes. You can screw that up. John, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, you had to have some too.
Well, I'm sorry, but Schiller's playing some April Fool's jokes in the chat stream there. So I do believe in two more big daddyology. I live by that philosophy, Mr. Schiller. So I look forward to following you along the Waffle House chain on the way down to Orlando here in the near future. But my background, a lot of folks that may not know my background is I spent 8 years on active duty in the military. While I was transitioning out of the military, I got into the West Virginia State Police, spent 21 years there. And then when I hung up the gun belt there, I spent another 9 with the U.S. Marshal Service as a contractor. So 30 years wearing a gun belt, spent a lot of time in a chain of command type of atmosphere where you have people. When you walk into a new environment, you have somebody guiding you and providing you with a little bit of SOP on that area of operation. So I truly understand the topic we're talking about today.
So when you were going through your careers, did you have like one particular person?
Oh, yeah. did you hear that?
Yeah.
Mentorship.
Yeah. Mentorship. Yes. You're always mentored by your wife. I mean, come on.
Yeah, as I just got mentored from down. Tommy Covey, what's up, brother?
It is great. It's great to hear Miss Beth's voice in the background, by the way, I just saying.
Yeah. Hey, man, I was tickled to death that she donned the jersey and took off, went with me to Virginia this past Saturday, and we spent about 4.5 hours at the Journey Outdoors location in Lexington, watched 5 or 6 feel frees go out the door.
Nice.
Yeah. I was really tickled to see that. A lot of pedal drives, a couple standards, but, and yeah, Tommy Covey, she is the boss. No doubt. Old snack queen there. So.
Yep. Guaranteed. She's the boss. Even when she's around all of us, she's still the boss.
Yeah.
But yeah. So tell me a little bit about like when you're going through the military, then you make a transition to the police force. Then you're working in the private sector a little bit. Tell me about an individual that kind of like was there with you along the way that you were able to learn from, because we all have to have one. When I was at the lower ranks, I didn't really have one. But when I got to working at the embassy, that's when kind of like my mentors finally started kind of like coming into my life. Now, of course, we all have like our fathers. We have those are great mentors. Those are great leaders in our lives. That's what gets us to where we kind of are today of the individual and the human being that we are. But when we go off and we go into another industry, another field or another job, there's got to be somebody there that was there. So tell us a little bit about like that one person that was with you for some of that.
Well, I can think of a couple people. I had Mark Melanson. He was, he was in the military with me and we were in DC. My last part of that helped me with some transitioning issues. Then when I was in state police, when I was first come out of the, academy and went up, and had to put, And I know a lot of people can relate when they use their college degrees and their trade degrees. You know, when you go out and you go to the field versus doing it in a sterile environment, where you don't have outside influences, you have somebody there to guide you, walk you through. And as Randy's familiar with an after action review type of report, where you can done better. In the state police, our field training, it's 9 months after we've went through the academy. And you normally have, you have 3 stages, and those stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3. And each stage, you have a different field training officer. So you get different aspects from different people. You learn different methods, different ideologies, and thought processes. One guy may be strong in criminal work. The other guy may be strong in drug traffic. Interdiction. Another guy may be really strong at interviewing techniques. So you take a little bit from everybody, and you then become polished and become your own entity from those different types of environments that you learn from. And the same aspect is with fishing. You know, when I got into fishing, the first part of my mentorship was really not one individual. A friend of mine, a friend of you, I think you may know him, John Gillespie down in Princeton. He's been fishing for years. He built my fishing poles for a long time. And then even Tommy Covey here that was on the chat. He's a really, really well-versed fisherman with like the drop shot, the jigs. He had his own jig company and made a lot of weights. So I learned stuff from him and those techniques. And then you take them and you apply them when you go out. And you then at that point, you know, as you, Randy, and you, please interrupt and jump in when you're thinking of something. But you take those techniques and you then you apply them to bodies of water that you go fish. You know, if it's a deep lake, you might want to throw something that works deep. You know, if it's a shallow, grassy type of water, then you have a different application that you might need to use there. You and I've talked about it all the time. This time of year is my weak point. I can't cold water fish. And that's where I need mentorship now, is having somebody that can take me out, teach me some techniques, how to work ridges, cliffs, or drop off some points and go, and work those areas and learn how to fish those. And that's old school fishing, because nowadays we all know that live scope and active target, and now, you know, 360 imaging, which I just purchased, waiting for it to get here from Hummingbird. But you got all of those techniques that really, really, if you study them and learn them, it'll advance you. We see it every day, especially the last couple of years, where, you know, on bass and MLF, your winners were more seasoned guys that have spent time on the water and applying the trade and learning tricks and tips, techniques that could catch fish. And now you have guys that are coming in with all this new technology at 19 years old and smashing fish and breaking records. So, there's so many ways that we can go about teaching people nowadays. And it's hard to just focus on one area, because you need to have a wide stream. You got to have that 360 thing going on, you know, to learn everything that's going on.
So I'm going to interject here a little bit. So when you're going through all those phases, obviously because of social media and things nowadays, it makes it a lot easier. You have technology at your fingertips that you can pull up a precise thing. You can learn it. But when you're going through and you're trying to study off of somebody and you're trying to learn from somebody in particular, how do you go about picking that person who's going to mentor you? Like what's your three top things that you look for in that person that makes them want to be the mentor that you're wanting them to be?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's, you know, you got to have somebody you can have fun with. Right. Somebody that's like-minded, and you know, someone that's never takes anything to heart, because if you may make people mad at you, you may make people, you know, and you know, I question a lot of people. I ask a lot of questions, and I don't want, because I'm not a cerebral type learner. I'm a visual learner. You know, I can't read something and follow directions, but if I watch you and I see things, I can learn it. And, so
he's
that's
a hands-on learner, everybody. Just to remember, he gets handsy. Well, so he's hands-on.
I wish. Hey, come here. David Melton, Nicholas, man. Hey, guys. What's going
on? We're getting them from all over the place. Now, welcome to the show, everybody. But definitely, we're talking about mentors and mentorship. So he talked about definitely somebody you kind of want to be like, you want to have fun with, but at the same time, you want to make sure you're learning from. What's another quick topic that you want to have that you're kind of like selecting that mentor?
Well, Brian, you ain't supposed to tell those secrets, Brian. A couple guys on our team that they're down right now fishing at Gunnersville, getting ready for the KBF National Championship. You got Rick Garavaglia, Kyle Struther, Jerry Spradling. These boys are West Virginia boys. I fished with them for years. But, you know, fishing with somebody and then going to stay in a house for a week and listening to them talk, watching their study habits. Those boys and Kyle just had a great event. We had him on Paddle and Fin Network last week on the Rusty Hook. Right. He went to Bass out at Tulsa and finished seventh. And, you know, I was never more happier for a dude in my life than to see him succeed, because that boy studies. He consumes knowledge about the water levels, the temperatures. As he explained, he would go watch video.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From different events at the lake that he went to fish. Old video, he would go look at old Google Maps to see the water level and terrain. He would join social media groups on that lake, like let's say Lake Norman. He would go look for a Lake Norman fishing lake page, right, and then study the past posts for that time that he was going down there. Dude is a connoisseur of knowledge, and I learned a lot from him and Jerry and those guys at the house, you know. I don't take it as serious as some people, and I'm more in it for, if I win, great, but I am not going to kill myself trying to pick something apart and then go out there and have a bad time and then get angry that I spent so much time,
resources,
invested so much time into something that I failed, because I accept failure. And hey, Elvis Lee, there's another hammer right there that does great. But, I mean, I accept failure and I learn from it, but I'm not afraid of it, you know.
Right.
I win from developing the relationships like I have with you. I would rather much go fish with some people, have a great week with them, spend time with them, learn about them and how they tick. I'm a people watcher. You know, of course, I had to have been for the last 30 years being in law enforcement, but I've always been that type of guy, and I get more enjoyment going watching people do well, like Kyle, and knowing that I get to see it and be a part of it. So
as you are transitioning in the industry a little bit, you're still going to the tournaments, but you're doing them to be more interactive, out in the community, out with all the anglers, be with those anglers at the house and stuff like that. As you're starting to transition now into like doing more of the shows and doing more of the podcast and doing more of show floor work when you go to like the expos and stuff like that, what is now like your key thing that you're looking at for an individual to that you want to have mentor you?
I mean, I really don't see myself in a position where I need mentoring. I mean, we always can learn something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do have weaknesses, but I'm not actively looking for someone to teach me anymore. I'm an old goat, man. I mean,
not true. You totally took one entire week and we finally set you in front of a computer and we put you into the system and we made you learn this, but he learned it. And like, he still developed the skill and the technique and things like that. You've got to learn from somebody, you know, you have to grow from something. And that's, I guess that's one of the reasons why we're having the conversation, is because now there's so many individuals that are coming into this industry and they're wanting to do this. They're wanting to do a podcast. They're wanting to do a show. They're wanting to get out there and hammer it really hard on Instagram shorts and YouTube shorts and things like that. But they're going at it and they're not getting any traction. So explain that a little bit.
Well, that's all hard work. And, you know, I was talking to one of my guys earlier. I think he's doing a podcast somewhere, and he was talking about, they were going to talk more about pro staff and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, my thoughts are is, you know, when you're in a business like this, first of all, kayak fishing is a small network, and you don't want to burn bridges. You don't want to brand bash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you got to talk about something, talk about the positives of the things that you use. Like, I'm with Feel Free. I'm going to talk about all the positives of why I use Feel Free, why I've been in a Feel Free kayak for the last 10 years, why it works for me. Because why it works for me may not be why it would work for somebody else, but someone may take that knowledge and remember it, you know, because the boats that I have may not be compatible for someone who fishes in a different style than I do. I fish skinny water, fast water, mostly rivers in the area that I live. Occasionally I'll go down to Randy's neck of the woods and hit a big lake. So I have a boat that I've designed to do that, to fish on the big lakes. Now, granted, I'm redesigning a boat, and I'm going to break it in when I get down there this in the next couple of days. But I have a couple in the garage that I could load up and take with me if I wanted to. I believe, you know, again, I'll reemphasize, don't brand bash. And the other thing is when you get involved, when you have someone that you're working with, you know, they're, mentoring can be more than just one individual. It can be a company.
Right.
And, you know, that marketing director, you know, that says, here's what I need you to do. Well, he didn't come up with these ideas or with this list of things because he doesn't know what he's doing. I encourage guys, you got a hashtag. If you want to grow in this industry as an angler, if you want to grow as a social media person, if you want to be involved in podcasts, doing reels, well, I mean, nobody's going to see it if you don't collaborate or share those with the companies and brands that you use and love. So if you're a kayak angler and you have, I'm going to use me or us, Feel Free Kayak. I have a Bending Branches paddle. I have a Lowrance or a Hummingbird depth finder. I have a Z Pro battery. You know, I use NRS equipment or clothing. Mm-hmm. I've got a Versa or 360 camera that I do my video with. You should be hashtagging all those companies because they all work in combined to get you out on the water and do what you're enjoying, the video that you're sharing. Just my thoughts, Randy. I mean,
well, no, and you're right. I mean, but to the point too, I'm kind of I'm the opposite of John. John and I, we are great friends. We have a lot of really in-depth conversation. We almost mentor and we grow one another in the industry here. And we kind of just bounce a lot of ideas off to each other. I'm the opposite. Like, I'll tag them. I'll tag the companies in the photos. I'll tag them and all that stuff. But I'm also not, I'll say it politely, I'm not a hashtag whore where I just dump 25 hashtags in there. You know what I'm saying? Because then that gets overabundant and gets over excessive. But at the same time, I still want to show love. So let's say, boom, I go in there, I post up something, I'm going to make sure that I have my hashtag in, but I'm not going to get all crazy and do the 25 because what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down my image. I'm going to spread that image out and then I'll hashtag the camera later on, or I'll do something else different from a different point of view of that same thing. So it's just, it's different ways of supporting and being part of it. But it's also like, here's a prime example. I'm one person. John is another person. Okay. John is in charge of a fishing team and he's asking his team to do this. And this is what he wants his team to do. And that's how they want to work it and do the exposure and get everything out there and make sure they're doing that. That's kind of like a team requirement. So what he's trying to say is if you get on a team, you're learning from somebody that is going to teach you along the way. They're going to put you into that system. They're going to get you into that regime of doing things, and you want to do it that way. So you're still being taught different things. We bring on individuals all the time that want to do a podcast or to do a show, and we run them through what it's like to create, design, launch, learn, and do your podcast. We do everything right here through Paddle and Fin. It's an amazing network. If you want to get involved in something like this, reach out to us. We'll talk to you. But it's an opportunity to learn and grow from a vast network of individuals that are learning in this industry at the same time. Some have 1 year, some have 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 12 years in the industry, you know? So there's a lot of individuals that you can learn from doing something like this, you know, a podcast. Exactly. Brian said it the best, and I was just getting ready to almost say that, Brian. Find what you do best and focus on it. If you're a great tournament angler, buckle down and do that. If you're a great photographer, showcase that. If you're on social media and you're a total, I won't say that, but you're the man, just like Brian or John or the guys that are on Paddle and Fin pumping out content, then do it. Stick to your strong suit. Like, I know, thank you, Brian. I know for a fact that, like, I am good at this. This is what I'm good at. I'm good at training, mentoring, growing individuals into the podcast scene. John is great at running his fishing team. He's learning, going through the strides of doing that. Brian is also giving us this opportunity to do that. So you want to make sure you stick into that industry that you're great at. Like, you want to be really good at. Go, John.
Well, I mean, Brian Schiller is a great dude, and he's a marketing director now too, you know. And I think he understands what we're talking about here when he put up that comment. You can't be strong in everything. You might be good at some points. You may have, it's like the 1 to 10 rating. You know, here's my skills. I'm a 4 here, 5 here, 8 here. Right. Well, if you're an 8 over here, concentrate on that. But you can still work on these and get better. I mean,
correct.
And I understand where you're coming at about, don't be a hashtag whore. And what my point was on that is if you go fishing once a week or once, and you can concentrate on that, the area that you concentrate. Like if you go out and you're fishing for smallmouth, don't tag fishing life, largemouth bass and smallmouth bass, just tag smallmouth bass,
right?
But unless you're really, really trying to get views or clicks or trying to get your name out there, then you could do it. But do it smartly. And like Randy said, you don't want to be looked at and then people don't follow you or unfollow you because they just think that you're you're attention grabbing,
Right.
Be yourself, be real. And,
I'm sorry. I'm going to just totally interrupt you now because we have not the only, but Mr. Brian Schiller has joined us. What's going on, brother?
You got about 5 minutes, man.
April Fools. 5 minutes of our time, but I want you to express your knowledge a little bit.
That's why I dropped that comment in there. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was trying to do everything. I was trying to do the tournament angler, the media guy, and shout out to Sam Jones.
Truth, Matt Gibson.
What did Gibson say? I don't even want to know. We'll skip past that. I'll read it later. But he's like, dude, you're trying to do all this stuff and how much time are you spending on tournament fishing? How much time are you spending on podcasts? How much time are you spending on, this, that, the other? And when you break it down, it just, you know, I wasn't putting as much focus on the things that I could be really crushing it at, and I was right. spreading myself too thin. So instead of putting 80% of my time towards one thing, I was putting 10% across the board, right? And, you know, so at the end of the day, it, you know, it kind of put a hindrance on growth in all those different things, you know, hence the reason why I don't really fish tournaments anymore. And trust me, I'd love to fish tournaments. I love fishing tournaments, but, you know, I focused on paddle and fin instead, and some of my own personal, you know, media growth, which eventually led me to my new abode here.
Well, so you got an awesome job. So, but because of a hard work and stuff, now you have a mentor for a boss that I think is amazing. I mean,
let's go easy on that one.
Hey,
let's
hey,
go easy come on.
I agree with him. Brian, Bo, I think Brian, you the man, you total package. And I think you need to put Schiller to work a little bit more.
I got here at 6 o'clock this morning. It's 6:38 PM and I'm not going to leave here till 9 o'clock. How much more can I do?
Pour it in base, Big Daddy.
Hey, I got yelled at because I was going to come in yesterday. Instead, I work from home. So there you go.
Well, when you were going through all those things, what was the aha moment that you realized, okay, boom, this is not what I need to kind of like really be focusing on?
I mean, it was that conversation I had with Sam, you know, because he's a big fan of the podcast. He's always been, he used to be a host and things like that. And, you know, he saw the potential in paddle and fin, and I definitely did it, but I didn't have the time to focus on growing it into what it was. And not only that, but growing a team to help grow it into what it was, you know? So I kind of had to put, you know, my aspirations of, you know, winning the national championship or walking across the Bassmaster Classic stage or whatever on the back burner to really focus on this. Right. And, in the long run, you know, looking to where I'm at now, it was the right decision. You know what I
well,
mean?
Let's look at it this way. I mean, you know, you can hit that home run once and walk across stage and make a nice $20,000 or $25,000 check, or you could hit the grand slam and do something for a living that you love, and you're making a living doing it. You go to work and you start at 6 a.m. and you're still there now with a coffee cup in front of you because it's not work. It's a passion. It's love, you know?
So, for sure. Yeah.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
So
I'm like, keep moving over a little bit there.
I got prototypes like all over the desk here, and I'm like,
I think I'm with you. Like I went through a phase. Like I went through a phase where I was constantly doing what I needed to do as an individual to start in the industry, because at the industry it was cutthroat at the beginning, was it not?
Sure.
I mean, it's
one of those things where, you know, back in the day, you know, kayak fishing was just starting to get legs. You know what I mean? Looking at it today, I mean, it depends who you talk to, right? You know, kayak manufacturers are seeing a little slump, but I think that's that's more of they got used to the COVID boom, you know what I mean? So yep. Things are going back to normal. So they're kind of like, oh, geez, you know. But I don't think there's necessarily a slump. Maybe regional areas, you know what I mean? Like my local kayak shop, I mean, they're killing it, business as usual, up from 2019 already, you know what I mean? So that's the realistic way you got to look at it, you know, on the business end of things. But I mean, how many times do we see a new guy posting on Kayak Bass Nation, KBF, any of the kayak groups, right? That, hey, just got my first kayak, looking for rigging ideas, things like that. You know, I'm in a lot of those like kayak rigging or trailer rigging, you know, things, groups on Facebook and stuff. And you're seeing a lot of new people still coming into it and asking questions, looking for answers. And, you know, here's the hardest thing too, right? Like, I think all this conversation is great, but I've been thinking about this a lot lately is like, not everybody wants to have a job in the industry. They just want to get out on the water and fish, right?
Which is
great. Yep. And you can't forget about those folks. And, but
yeah, tournament fishing is that big in the grand scale of kayak fishing.
Yeah, 100%, right? And you know, for the longest time, I mean, since I was a kid, I thought the only way to make it into the fishing industry was to go and win the Bassmaster Classic, right? Like, you know, I didn't know there was all these other avenues, and granted, with technology, social media, things like that, all these opportunities have grown. And you're seeing more and more ways to get into it, right? Like I've had that conversation with more people than I care to admit, but like, I think it's great. You know what I mean? Cause that bringing in fresh blood into the industry allows for expansion on what we already have and right. Seeing ideas grow, right? Like for the longest time, it was like, I have all these ideas stashed away up here. Now I just need somebody to listen to me. And, you know, to see those things come to fruition, it's pretty incredible, right? And I think the more companies take input from everyday anglers, whether you're a tournament fisherman, a recreational person, you know, guys like you and I, you know, whoever it may be, man, I mean, the opportunities are endless, but one of the things I learned in this journey, I guess you would call it, is a lot of those companies are kind of, you know, they got the blinders on, right? Like they're focused on this and they're only wanting to talk to, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, and I think that puts a hindrance on them. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I don't know, does. Man, this conversation could get spun a million different ways, but going back to my main point.
Here's one thing. Did you have one person that was with you all the time, kind of like mentoring you and growing you and like showing you things in the sport? Or were you just, like Chris Payne said, blazing your own path through the entire thing?
Yeah. Right. And that's just it, right? Like Chris Payne, man, look at that guy, what he's done. Like, jeez.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Right. Like,
right.
You know,
it's a shame that the new generation of kayak anglers really don't know who he is. And I wish Chris would be a little bit more vocal about things that he does and what he is. Need to get him back on our show a little bit more often. But, I mean, magazine writer for 16 to 18, ICAST interviewed all the new products, wrote all kinds of different, hey, check that out. Brian, thumbs up with you, buddy.
You got a thumbs up.
But all of the different articles he's wrote over the years, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just it, right? Like, that's something Chris has had a strong suit in for years, right? Yeah. And it was all developed out of passion, right? And, you know, that's just it, right? Like I said, you got to focus on what you're good at and buckle down and, you know, get after it. You know what I mean? You know, I just saw Michael Ridenour, you know, pop up, and Mike, dude, I mean, he's chasing the tournament trail. And, you know, I met him last year at our Dale Hollow event. And ever since then, like, dude, I mean, that kid's a beast. He's a monster. He's on the tournament trail. You know, he always places really well. And, you know, I give him kudos, man. I know what it's like to chase that. You know what I mean? I did that for a year hardcore. And it's like, dude, that'll burn you out quick.
Yeah,
especially with having a family and all that stuff, dude. I mean, kudos to him. He's a hell of a fisherman. He's always on the grind, you know. Obviously, you know, I sponsor him, and you know, he's always calling me, hey man, what can I do? You know, hey, I'm working on this, I'm doing this, you know, can I do more? What more can you ask from a guy like that? You know what I mean? And that's just it, right? And the big thing is, in that comment I left in there was, don't talk about doing it, do it. You know, like, you can sit there and brainstorm ideas and whatever, and I'm guilty of this too, right? Like, for the longest time I was like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. I still do it to this day. I'm like, man, I gotta shoot like 4 videos. Have I turned the camera on? No. But you know, at the same time, like, you just got to get out there and do it and grind it out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm still doing here almost 13 hours later, right? Like,
100% of success is 99% failure.
Right.
I mean, right. You got to try. You got to be successful, expect failure and keep after it.
Well, and to go with what Brian's saying, what John's saying also, is that you've got to do the work. Like, so you can't just sit there and just constantly, like you said, brainstorm, come up with ideas, boom, boom, boom. You got to put proof in the pudding a little bit. You got to actually do it.
Right.
You can write a plan down all day, but until you implement it and go for it, you know, it's just writing on paper.
Yeah, well, for sure.
What we're going to do real quick, I know Brian's got to go, but we're going to do a Dale Hollow teaser real quick. So do not forget, Dale Hollow is coming up the end of this month. So you want to sign up now, Tourney X, and do it.
Two more, Big Daddy.
Yeah, I got to roll out, guys. I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate you guys very much. And, man, if anybody ever is looking for any advice or whatever, feel free to reach out to me anytime, man. You know, I'll shout out JD DeRozier. You know, I reached out to him way back in 2018, I think it was. And, you know, never met him a day in my life. And at that point, and I just sent him a Facebook message. He was doing a lot of things with Bonafide, Yak Attack, things like that. And ever since that day, it's kind of changed my path in life. And, I'm forever grateful for that dude, just responding to a message. But, you know, it's one of those things, man. If I can help in any way, shape, or form, that's what I'm here for. So I appreciate it very much. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. I got to roll. I got another podcast. I got to
appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, sit back, relax, get a drink of water real quick. That's right. Join us April 27th and 28th in Dale Hollow. Who will be the next winner? We hope it will be somebody new, but if you go back and you repeat again, that would be absolutely fantastic. I'm not going to say. I mean, it would be pretty awesome. But it's another event. It's another event where you can go, you can be part, you can network, you can get in there, spend a week with individuals, have a great time, and at the same time, also maybe win some money when you're catching some of those big old fish. Right, John?
Agreed.
He's already got totally he's hijacked my show, everybody. He's hijacked it. That's exactly what he did. That's right. First place winner. Boom. Who's going to be?
Oh, man. I tell you, I look forward to giving that check away, brother. So taking them to the print shop tomorrow morning. And I also, just to let you know that I talked to Richard DeVry, the owner or former owner at Eastport, one of the guys, he's putting this tournament together there. We've got, as you saw on that check, there's several companies from the Chamber of Commerce there in Burgetown, Pepsi, and Fisher's Place. They are putting up money for the Big Bass Pot. Big Bass Pot minimum will be around $1,500 a day.
A day.
And a day. And our meal that will be paid for the guys when we go down there. So at Fisher's Place, at the marina, Delhalla, Eastport Marina. So $100 entry fee, get signed up. That includes your big bass. So you don't have to spend extra money there. But it's on Tourney X. Look for Paddle and Fin today on Delhalla.
On Delhalla. That's right. So make sure if you're up for it and you want to make a little trip at the end of this month and do something different, and you're not part of the big massive chain, but there will be other anglers coming from all over the country to down to Delhalla. So there's a large contingent coming from Tennessee and also West Virginia. So we are excited to see everybody down there at Delhalla. But yeah, so tonight we're talking about mentorship and mentors, what it's like. We just had Brian Schiller on. You've got my co-host tonight, John Rapp. If you're joining us just now, halfway through the show, it's a sensitive subject because, I mean, honestly, you can get into this industry and you can kind of try to free float through it and try to figure it out on your own, and you can learn a lot because of social media. But what I'm trying to say is pick a mentor, pick somebody that's actually in the industry, that's been in the industry for a while, and learn from them. But make sure you pick the right one. You don't want to pick a negative one. You don't want to pick a nasty one. You don't want somebody that's going to help stir the fire, kick the pot, do whatever, kick the hornet's nest, do whatever it is. You want to learn from them in a positive way. And that's where I'm trying to get.
And one way that you can start doing that if you're new in the industry, new into the kayak fishing scene, is join a local kayak fishing club.
Yeah.
Those guys, go to those local clubs, and you don't have to go shake a few hands, learn a few names, get some social media contact information, and do your research. And you know, and you, most of us are adults, and most of us know when we meet somebody if there's, you know, if you're going mesh,
if there's a connection there,
and you know, and then if it's not there, move on until you find a few, and then you create that circle of friends that you start hanging out with, you fish with, and you learn with, and you guys can grow together. It don't have to be done by yourself.
No. That's the one thing is you don't want to do something by yourself. You want to have somebody alongside of you. You want to either go in together when it's completely new to both of you. Like I brought in a friend of mine, Tim, down in Florida, got him into the kayak thing, got him on a kayak. And next thing you know, he was my ride or die partner all through all the entire state of Florida, you know? And thank you, Tim. All I got to say is thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. And also your friendship. But yeah, you just kind of figured it out on the way while you did it, and things kind of happen, you know, or you get linked up with somebody from a local fishing group, or you've hit a trail stop and you get to meet some of those people and network with them a little bit. And you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe I want to learn some more from this individual, or want to learn something new, or hey, maybe I want to do what John and Randy are doing. And they're in this paddle and fin thing and trying to figure out how to do this whole show stuff. Reach out. The best thing you can always do, and the most nerve-wracking thing is you can reach out to somebody. What's the worst they're going to say? No.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
But I can tell you right now, in our industry, there's a lot of individuals that will say yes. And they will help you. They will talk you through. They will get you through everything you need to understand either social media, reading a graph, or understanding what the topography is on Del Hollow, and all sorts of, like, there's somebody that is very good at it and they're willing to help you all. So
no doubt. No doubt.
So yeah, so go out and find that mentor. Go out and find that friend. Find that person that's going to be involved in your life when you're in this, because you know what? They're going to be your number one supporter. They're going to be right there with you, whether they're teaching you, coaching you, or just fishing with you. They're going to be with you 100%. So make sure you find that right person.
Well, I got, and you know, we all get started in this industry, into fishing in one way or another. And I've told my story over the years. You know, I started in a bass tracker, one of those little 10 foot bass pond buggies. And, you know, I started with my wife, who was then my girlfriend. We got out of that and we got into the kayak scene. And, you know, Matt Gibson is absolutely correct. One mentor can also lead to another, because as you grow, mm-hmm. you may grow away from one relationship and into another. It's like a tree. It branches off, but you're still part of one group. You're right. Still part of that. You never lose that one mentor, because you're always going to have him. That's why I started off saying, don't burn bridges, you know, because as you grow and as you move, you know, the tree splits, the tree grows, and you grow with it, or you can work your way back down to the roots and start all over, you know?
Yeah. I guess one of the biggest things out of this entire conversation, and we've hit on a lot of what you kind of just need in your life, and that's to make sure you have that support system. And that support system is what's going to help you. It can be many other people. I appreciate all these individuals that are in this comment section right now. I appreciate all of them, because you know what? They're supporters of us, but at the same time, I know a lot of them, and they're all working their way into the industry. They're all doing their thing. They're doing their niche, and they're doing what they're good at. And I'm very proud of a lot of them. I'll give a shout out to one in particular, Nicholas Beltran down in South Florida. He's kind of taken over reins and doing everything down in the very far south of Florida now, and just doing the kayaking thing. I'm proud of him for doing that. But you want to make sure that you get the mentorship is partnership is basically what it is. You're partnering with other individuals. You're growing. You have they're teaching you. They're giving you advice when you less expect it. They're giving you experience that they've had throughout the time. They're often normally an older individual kind of helping out a younger individual, and just make sure that you have somebody that's there to help coach you along the way through this, because this can be a very rewarding sport, and it can also tear you down super, super fast. And as you've heard from Brian, myself, and John, you can get stuck in some niches that you're not very good at. Like, I learned very fast that I'm not a very good tournament angler. I'm a decent one, but I'm not a very good one to bring home a check. And my wife told me that all the time, you know, but you want to make sure that you have the support that can coach you any other aspects. Like, I learned social media from another individual that's not even in the fishing industry. I learned how to do those things. I learned how to pick up this stuff, production, stage production, things like that. So now that's carrying over into other things. So you want to make sure that you always have somebody in your life that is encouraging you to grow. That's exactly what I want to say. Mentor, someone that is encouraging you to grow. John?
Hey, I don't think I could segue that any better. The whole idea is don't be stagnant. Look for a way to continue to improve and use the resources around you. Mentorship. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you've been in the industry a while, you get a little stagnant. You hit a hump. I mean, I've hit it. I went from the tournament scene hard from 14, 15, 16 to a tournament org. And at those times I was a tournament director. And mm-hmm. then I started my own club, ran that club, still have it, nonprofit. And now I'm running the Rusty Hook, part of the Paddle and Fin, managing two fishing teams nationwide. There's ways to grow, and there's never, ever let yourself fall in that hole. You know, it's a still military thing that we've talked about. You know, when you're digging that hole, if you're digging that hole and you need help getting out, I'll jump in that hole and help you out.
True that.
Don't look and feel like that you're alone.
And you're not anybody. You're not in this alone. And a lot of the individuals that are in those comment sections, they know that too. They've got mentors. They've got individuals that's helping them grow as well. And that's what we hope to do here with Paddle and Fin, Final Cast, The Rusty Hook, all the other shows that we have here, the OG, and some of the newer ones that are getting ready to start coming out. We're here to help. We're here to support you. We're here to just give you the support you need and help get you out of that hole if you need it. So if you need help or you need somebody to talk to, you need somebody to help you grow in the industry, or you want to learn something new and maybe that's kind of like your niche and the things you need to move forward, reach out to us. Reach out to Brian. You can always get a hold of him through Facebook Messenger. It's the easiest way to get a hold of us. Boom, you can do that. We definitely will pour in resources and give you and help you point you in the right direction to get the answers that you need. John, I always appreciate you. We've been on for about 50 something minutes already. I can't believe that has already gone by fast. Brian takes a lot of time.
Yes.
But that's why we love him. We love him for that. Again, thank you to everybody who's joined us. Make sure you get out there and get somebody to help you grow in this industry, mentor you, grow. And always remember, this is the final cast, but it's not really the final cast. We'll see you again shortly. I'm going to have a new guest on us. A Canadian angler out of the north is going to be joining me this week. We're going to be talking to him about some of the things and how he's kind of grown into this industry and what he's doing and what he's going to be doing in the future. So look forward to that coming out with the final cast. John, what's next on your show?
I'll be on tomorrow night, live, raw, and unfiltered, 7:30-ish. I can't give you any more details than that.
That's it. That's all I can tell you. But again, remember, tomorrow night, 7:30. You might get me tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and we will talk to you later. Enjoy the rest of your week. If you have spring break with your kids this week, take them outside. It's gorgeous. It's been nice to down here. So take them outside. Do something.
PFD. Always wear it.
Always wear your PFD. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening and enjoy the rest of your week. Look forward to seeing you guys again on the final cast.
Most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.